Welcome to What's Poppin'. My guest this week is Craig Walla. Craig, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
So, Craig, first question I ask everybody is, how long have you lived in the area?
Oh, a long time. My family moved down here from Eureka in 1964. We settled in Hayward. One year later, we moved to Fremont, and that's where I grew up. I even went to high school across the street here.
Oh, really? So Washington. Okay. Yeah. Yes. So you've been here a long time then.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yep.
How'd you get to Prince of Peace then?
Well, when Michelle and I were engaged to be married, we talked about a lot of things that we would be doing during our marriage. And one of the things we wanted to make sure we did was find a right church. We'd both been to each other's churches, and we were not really satisfied with either one of our churches, so we chose a neutral church.
Okay. Neutral church.
So we got married here,
yeah,
and we joined the church the same year we were married, back in 87.
Okay. Out of curiosity, not we're looking to bash the other churches, but were they Lutheran churches that you came from?
Both Lutheran churches. I grew up at the Christ the King Lutheran Church, and Michelle grew up at Our Savior Lutheran Church.
Okay. And so neither one worked for the other person, so let's just start over type of thing?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of maybe the style of the pastor wasn't conducive for each of us, and we both probably wanted to be away from our parents.
Ah, oh, that's huge. Okay, so the churches you grew up in, you wanted to have your own start. That's
correct.
That's a really important thing for a lot of people. Some folks can do it, and it's great to have a multi-generational church where everyone goes, you know, and there can be a lot of strength of that, but there's also an aspect of sort of really taking your own household idea and have your own church, your own household, and kind of start, in a sense, fresh as adults.
Yeah, it allowed us to start our own traditions
that
were separate from the traditions of our parents.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you came during the Mosley years then, right?
We did. Pastor Mosley married us, and then it wasn't too long after that he retired,
okay,
I believe.
And then Pastor Zelt was after that, correct?
Yeah, I think he joined in the early 90s, mid to early 90s.
He has been here, I think, around 27 years. So that would put him into the mid 90s.
Mid 90s, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's right. I remember my son was baptized with an interim minister.
Oh, okay.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. Huh. So, Craig, switching gears a little bit, what was your favorite working experience or job?
So that's difficult to answer because I've only had two jobs in my career. But the job I'm currently in, I've been with for more than 30 years, and I've had lots of different tasks or roles within this company.
That is an unusual thing these days, 30 years, the same company.
It is very unusual. Sometimes I wonder if it was the right thing to do or not, but it seems to be working out.
Yeah.
But there was a period of time for about 4 years I managed our relationships with business partners, specifically OEM partners. What that means is Hitachi would make a product for our customer base, and then other companies might utilize that product in their product offering. And that allowed me to be both technical, which my background was software engineering. I could be technical, but I could also learn the business side of this relationship. What that meant was, you know, looking at supply chain management, pricing, currency fluctuations based on Japanese yen versus US dollar or the euro.
Yeah.
And so this was an eye-opening experience for an engineer.
Right. Very different than what you're used to. Yeah.
Very, very different. And it was challenging. Had a number of different bosses during that time. Every boss had their own slant on how they wanted things done. So I learned a lot of good and bad.
Yeah.
But what I really cherished the most was the relationships with the business partners in various parts of the U.S. And I got to travel quite a bit, visit with them, learn how they do business and how they're utilizing our products. And it was a very inspirational or motivational job where you'd go and talk about the things that they're going to do. And then a month or two or a year later, you see what comes about.
Yeah, what actually happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I hear OEM, I think in my bike shop days, OEM means original equipment manufacturer, typically. And so for bikes and for bike manufacturers, I mean, most bike manufacturers just make the frame. And then all the parts come from all the other manufacturers, so the OEM parts. And so I think about like what you're doing, and that'd be interesting for an engineer to actually be the one who goes to the companies who are using those parts or those things that you're creating, because you're so used to like, what's the best way to do this? Let's solve a problem. But then you're going to the person who actually is using it, and you're learning, is this actually what is usable by somebody? Does it fit the needs both cost-wise? Does it actually solve what we're trying to solve? And is it going to be used more in the future? Then getting feedback from those people and learning, they actually prefer to have this or that, or this worked better. Imagine that end of the experience for an engineer who's usually just creating was very developmental for you going forward after that.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. A lot of times the feedback we've got from our partners was then utilized in our main product. Mm. And so 5 years later, our next generation product would have a lot of those features that mm-hmm. our business partners had recommended or needed. Yeah, it was very satisfying to see a relationship that grows.
How long ago was that in your career?
Oh, that was 15 years ago.
Hmm. Yeah. So very influential. You're still thinking about it 15 years later.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. That's cool. Switching gears again. What are two things from the message last Sunday that made you think, sounded good, or caused you to react in some way?
I'll start by saying that I think Pastor Zelt's drawing of the soul could have been a little different or better.
Not an amoeba.
I'm not sure how it would have been better. No, I'm just joking there. But I think one of the key points I got out of it was that our faith is based on what other people saw. Mm. The disciples witnessed the miracles performed by Jesus, including his resurrection.
Yeah.
If they didn't talk about what they saw, I would not have the faith that I have today.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting point was the analogy that Pastor used about betting on something that you already know the outcome.
Yeah.
We know what will happen. We will have eternal life with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But what was kind of new to me was that I need to get ready for that event.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that I really, really needed to prepare for my own resurrection.
Mm.
So that's an interesting concept that I need to sort of follow through with and learn on my own.
Yeah, it's a challenging one when you think about it. You know the end result. You know where you're headed. And it doesn't end, it keeps going. And so the things that we do now are important, and they have lasting impact on others and on ourselves. And we also can react to the world much differently and maybe not overreact the way some people might when we know that it really is all going to be great.
That's right.
For those who know Jesus. So that also makes us want to have more people know Jesus. So that's great for them too.
Right, so that puts us back in the position of the disciples, and we need to tell other people about
so they can have faith.
What we saw or what we believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Last question for you, and I have no idea. This is going to be a good one for me to get to know you better, because I have no idea where you're going to go with this. Hotel or camping, where and why?
All right, well, I may be cheating with my answer here, but I will say that for the first 40 to 45 years of my life, my answer would be camping.
Okay.
Anywhere near a lake.
Okay.
Or a stream with lots of trees.
Yeah.
A mountaintop view or a waterfall nearby is a bonus. Huh. But as we all know, camping is a lot of work.
It is.
Packing the car, preparing all the food and all the tents and sleeping bags and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So now I would have to answer hotel. And my ideal hotel would overlook a beach somewhere.
Okay.
Preferably in a tropical setting.
Warm setting.
Yes. Looking at the ocean, running on the beach, playing in the water. They all contribute to make a perfect day for me.
Okay.
And of course, the perfect day has a sunset as well.
Yeah.
They're usually beautiful when you're by the ocean.
Yeah.
On the beach. And then, of course, when I return to the hotel, I don't have to cook dinner or wash dishes.
Yeah.
Or set up the tent again because it blew over last night.
Get the mosquitoes out of there.
That's right. So the hotel experience is much more relaxing than the camping experience.
Yeah.
Although we thoroughly enjoyed camping when we were younger and the kids loved it.
But now when you want to relax, you want to relax.
If we decide that our next vacation is going to be a relaxing vacation, there's definitely going to be a hotel.
Yeah. So you mentioned running on the beach. Are you a runner?
I'm not a runner, but the kind of running I do on the beach might be chasing the dog
okay.
or playing some sand soccer. that kind of running, or maybe throwing the football and running that way. And I'm not a runner.
I always found running on the beach to be very straining on the lower body.
It's interesting. When you do sports in the sand, mm-hmm. The next day you realize you had muscles, or you have muscles that you've never heard of before.
Yeah. Like, you think about something, must connect those things together so it makes sense, but now it's sore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. I miss Southern California for the sunsets. They are just beautiful.
And yes.
Most nights of the week, the sunsets are beautiful in Southern California. So, and then the beach has something to do with that. We live close. The church down there was 7 blocks from the ocean.
Oh, wow.
And then we lived about 8 miles inland, but that's nothing. It's all flat, nothing in the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Here we have to drive a good, almost an hour to get to the beach.
Yeah.
And that's, you don't always do that for sunset.
Just for sunsets. Yeah. 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 We used to call them cotton candy sunsets down there. Yeah. You used to get those a lot. Pink and blue and orange and all the purple, all the colors. Yeah. Well, Craig, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come and talk to us.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate you asking.